This morning, serve a wonderful God. Amen. He's the only God, but He is a wonderful God. Here we go. Alrighty, probably need to back. Yeah, there we go. Back that down a little bit there. I've thought a lot about that time in Revelation, whenever all of those armies are gathered together there at the Battle of Armageddon, and no doubt they'll be the most advanced that the world has to offer, and all the smartest people that the world can try to bring up what they call smart. But whenever He descends, then He's going to be that phrase, that Ancient of Days, is really going to be a reality then. He's going to know so much more than then. They're going to know then how powerful He really is. And that same God that's going to rule over this earth, He's the one that lives in my heart this morning. And whenever we rule and reign with Him, it's not going to be, we're not going to rule and reign with Him because He makes us. We're going to love Him. He's going to rule over the earth, and they're going to serve Him because He makes them. But those of us who are saved, we'll have known Him for many, many years and love Him and know how He's going to rule. And I'm thankful for that this morning. We're going to be in the book of Esther, chapter number 3. This is the only message that I've ever preached out of the book of Esther. I have preached it before, though, so that doesn't mean this will go very good at all, but I did preach this in the jail. And so no guarantee of success here, but I just want to give you what the Lord has laid on my heart. We taught in Sunday school this morning about endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace, and how divided this world is, you know, and the churches are of today. But that's kind of what I want to preach about this morning, and maybe we'll preach out of the book of Peter tonight as well, along the same lines. I'm not positive about that, but I believe that's what the Lord would have us to do. And I'm going to try to not spend too much time here and just give you what the Lord's laid on my heart. You know the context here in the book of Esther. This is a book, a very different book of the Bible. Some people have speculated that maybe it was written by somebody that wasn't a Hebrew. Maybe somebody that was a foreigner, because it doesn't ever mention the name of the Lord. But as I've read through it this time, as our church has gone through it, then it seems to me that I've kind of picked up a little bit more than I have whenever I've read before. And I believe it was written by somebody that knew the Lord but wasn't allowed to write the name of the Lord. That's what I think, you know, and that may be true or maybe not. But there's so many hints in here about and so many ways that it's phrased that somebody who knows the Lord would write it. And that's what I believe has happened. Whenever they say that they will go to fast, then we know that they're going to fast and to pray. And it just seems like they just left out the "and pray" part, probably under some kind of persecution. But if you're looking for the Lord in this scripture, you'll find Him everywhere. If you're just looking for the name written, you're not going to find it anywhere in the book of Esther. But if you're looking for the Lord's hand and His promises and people who believe in Him, you'll find them all through this book of Esther. Here in Esther chapter 3, then, if you were to read beginning in verse number 1, then you would find that Haman is promoted, and Haman is very well liked in the kingdom, and he's well liked by Ahasuerus, the king of Persia at this time, and effectively king of the world as they knew it. This was the most powerful kingdom at this time on the face of the planet. And Haman was promoted here, and everybody, as Haman walked by, even though he wasn't the king, everybody would bow down to him and would, bow to him and worship him and do all these things. But Mordecai would not do that. And Mordecai could not do that because he didn't belong to Haman. He belonged to the Lord. He was a Jewish man, and whenever Haman found out about that, then what really hurt Haman is not that Mordecai didn't bow. It's whenever all of his friends started telling him about it. Said, "Have you noticed Mordecai doesn't bow to you?" And as we apply the topical message this morning, that's exactly how the devil and the world is as well. As long as you're a secret Christian, and as long as nobody knows that you're a Christian, and nobody knows that you serve the Lord, then the devil will pretty much leave you alone. And if you're a hypocrite if you're somebody who says they know the Lord and then lives like the devil all throughout the week. You're the devil's favorite kind of Christian, to be honest with you. You'll give plenty of people opportunity and reason to spend the rest of their life not knowing the Lord. But whenever you decide that you're going to serve the Lord and it doesn't matter who tells you to bow that you're not going to bow, then that's when the devil's really going to set his sights and his target on you. That's what happened with Haman here. Whenever he started hearing that Mordecai would not bow to him from his friends, he got full of wrath, is what he says here in verse number 5. And he was going to lay hands on Mordecai, not just on Mordecai, but on the Jews as well, because they, as a whole, they had a commandment in the Ten Commandments not to set any other gods before them, not to bow down to any graven image, not to worship anything. And Haman was determined to destroy all of the Jewish people. We'll find our text here in verse number 8, and this is going to be a topical message, and I'll explain a little bit about that in a second. But I want to read here this description that Haman gives of the people of God. And Haman said unto King Ahasuerus, "There is a certain people scattered abroad and dispersed among the people in all the provinces of thy kingdom. And their laws are diverse from all people. Neither keep they the king's laws. Therefore, it is not for the king's profit to suffer them. If it please the king, let it be written that they may be destroyed, and I will pay 10,000 talents of silver to the hands of those that have the charge of the king's business to bring it into the king's treasuries." I want to preach on that first phrase there in as Haman is speaking in verse number 8. There is a certain people. That's what I want to preach on this morning. And I want to use the Jewish people here as a type of the children of God that we are now. Now, we know doctrinally, I'm not a replacement theologist, right? The children of God haven't taken the place of the children of Israel. There's people that preach that and they believe that it is the children of God's lot and it is the children of God's inheritance to instead be those who take the promises of the children of Israel that's given to Abraham and that's given in the Old Testament, and that is not what we are. The promises that are given to the children of Israel and that are given to Abraham in the Scripture are good promises. They're godly promises, but we have better promises. Nothing wrong with their promises, but we have something better. That's what Peter tells us in the book of Peter. He said, "We look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness." They're looking for the Messiah to come and rule and reign, and we're looking forward to that. I'm looking forward to it, but I'm looking for new heavens and a new earth. I'm looking forward to the Lord ruling and reigning and there being peace here, but I'm looking for a new heaven, and that's where my inheritance is. Even though we will rule and reign with Him for those 1,000 years, we'll still be looking forward to that new heaven and the new earth where we're one with Him, where we are joined together with Him, that new Jerusalem, that heavenly Jerusalem. That's what we are looking for. There's a passage here about there being about these people being Jewish, and again, I'm not a replacement theologist. I think that's completely unbiblical. But at the same time, everything that's happening in the Old Testament, as we are told in the book of Corinthians, he says these things happen to us for in samples, that we should learn from what happened to them. We're also told in the book of Hebrews that all these things are a shadow of four things to come, for the law being a shadow of things to come and not the very image of the things. So the relationship that God has with the children of Israel is not the relationship that God has with His children now. But it is a picture of the relationship that God has with His children. And the way that the Jewish people were treated and are treated now, and the way that they were treated in the Old Testament, and the way that those who loved God in the Old Testament were treated, is the same way that those who love God now are treated. The way that God identifies them is the same way. He calls them His people. That's what the title of the message is today. There is a certain people. There is a people in this world now that belong to God. If you have any confusion about how God describes us, we are told in the book of Titus, chapter 2, verse 14, who gave Himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works." We're told the same thing in the book of Deuteronomy about the children of Israel. Moses says to the children of Israel, "Therefore thou art an holy people unto the Lord thy God, and the Lord hath chosen thee to be a peculiar people unto himself above all the nations that are upon the earth." God chose the children of Israel, and God chose you as well. God called out the children of Israel, and God called out you as well. Now, we have things that the children of Israel did not have. I'm not going to lay aside any of those things. But I want to look at the similarities here for just a few minutes and help us to kind of focus in the direction that we ought to in these last days. For some reason, we've come to a place as church people and as Christians where we think that that our sign of success as Christian people is how much the world likes us, how much the world thinks of us. But we do not belong to the world. We are a certain people that belong to God, that have been called out, that have been identified, that have been bought and paid for, and we belong to the Lord. There are some identifiers of this people. I'm going to read a couple more verses to you here. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 9 and 10. "But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people." That's a direct quote from the book of Deuteronomy. Peter applying that now to the Christians. That doesn't mean that what God did for the children of Israel is done with. It's not done with. It'll all be fulfilled in the millennial reign. But just as the children of Israel are the wife of Jehovah, so are we the bride of Christ. "That ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy." As you read in Ephesians chapter 2, then it is amazing, I could say by way of introduction, that we even belong to the Lord. He says that at one time we were alien and we were foreign and we were afar off. We were Gentiles and strangers from the covenants of promise. But through the blood of Christ and through His sacrifice on the cross, then now we belong to God. That's the first mark of those that are a certain people of the Lord, is He has established that they belong to Him. He has claimed them for His own, not because of something that they've done, but because of His choice and because of His design. Because we've repented and have believed on His Son, then we belong to Him. There is a certain people. Now, there is a movement and a desire in the world that we live in that those who are Christians, that they would just give up all of the rules of the Bible, claim to be a Christian, and we'll live together in some kind of utopian world of harmony. But that's not how God has decided it. He has not chosen us to just blend in like chameleons with the world around us. He has chosen us, He has called us, and we have responded to that call, understanding that we are supposed to be a certain people, a peculiar people. Something that is set. Certain doesn't just mean distinct, even though it does. It means that it is real, that it is true, that it is not fake. There's a lot of people with fake professions. A lot of people that are hypocrites. As I've told them in the jail, there's tons of hypocrites in the world, but you shouldn't go to hell for them. That's what my dad has said many times. There's not a hypocrite in the world that's worth dying and going to hell for. There are many hypocrites, many of those that are false, but there are a certain people that truly do love the Lord, and they love His Word, and they love what He wants them to do, and they follow Him, and they're not afraid to stand whenever the world is against them. Just as these Jewish people here in Esther chapter 3, then they are devised against, they are hated, and we'll get into all of that. They have a powerful enemy, so do we. Down through the years, there have always been a people of God. Throughout the Middle Ages, while the Catholic Church was ruling over the whole world, persecuting and killing and murdering and burying people at the stakes, there has been a certain people of God that were unafraid to stand against the powers of those times, that were unafraid to die for the name of the Lord. They were unafraid to promote the testimony of Jesus Christ. Being a Christian, being a child of God, It's not just a check mark on the census. It's not just something you check off whenever you go to apply for a job. It's not just a card that you sign whenever you come down to the church. It's not just a baptismal thing that you do whenever you're a child. Being a Christian is more than just the name that we have on the sign, even though it's important the name that you have on the sign. Being a Christian is more than what you tell people whenever they ask you what religion you are. It's about being a part of the people of God. It's about being a child of His. He said, as we said in Peter, you used to not be a people. You used to not belong to anybody. You thought that you were your own. You thought that you were doing things your own way. You thought that you were doing whatever you wanted to do. But now you belong to the Lord. You belong to somebody. You belong to each other. You're a family, a part of the family of God. There is a certain people. The church world, the independent Baptists have become very divided. But it's because we've forgotten who we are. We've forgotten who we belong to. First of all, this people, and I'll move through these quickly, Lord willing. This certain people, that they're a distinct people. They're secure in who they are. Not secure mentally, even though that's an important thing. But they are secured by the distinguishment of God. God is the one that has rescued them. Those who are truly saved aren't the ones who just claim that they've been saved. Not just the ones who make a profession with their mouth. But those that God has taken out of darkness and put into the kingdom of light. Those are those that belong to God. You understand that? There's a lot of people that come to our churches and they say they belong to the Lord. There's a lot of people you'll meet at the grocery store and meet out in the community and they say they belong to Him. But our security is not in the fact of what we profess. Our security is in the fact that God has rescued us from darkness and put us into light. That's why what I have can't be shaken. It's not because I believe hard enough, even though I believe with all of my heart. It's not because I'm perfect, because I'm not perfect. But I am secure. I'm secure in the fact that I'm a child of God because I've been rescued by God. And I've been filled by the Holy Spirit. And I know what it's like to love the Lord. I know what it's like to have His Word living in my heart. That's something that God does in the heart of an individual. There's no amount of working that I can do that can work up the Holy Spirit or make it up in my life. He's the one that has to interact with me. I can't make Him. I can't fashion Him. He's the one that has to fashion me. And God's people do not fashion Him. He fashions them. We are secure because of the distinguishing of God. Because of His calling. He is the one that calls us. We call upon Him. But He's the one that calls to us whenever we were in a shape that we could not get away from. He tells us in Psalms 40, He says that I waited patiently for the Lord. And He inclined unto me. He heard my cry. That call that the Lord gives to us has the power if we respond to it. If we respond to that call, then it has the power to change our life. But our cry to Him has no power at all unless He responds to us. Unless God reaches to where you are, unless God changes you on the inside, unless He is the one that moves in, unless He is the one that washes away your sins, it doesn't matter how many professions you make. It doesn't matter how many times you get baptized. You'll never be a child of God unless He makes you a child of God. That's where my security comes from. What I have is what's in this Scripture. That's where I found out what I have. I didn't just think it up in my mind. I didn't just make it up in my mind. I found it in this Word of God, that what God did in my heart is what He said He would do. Now that ability to become one of the children of God is not limited. It's only limited to those who will receive Him. Those who reject Him don't become one of His children. But that's the only limitation. The Lord is not, God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. He died for the sins of the whole world. He paid for the sins of the whole world. The limitation that is placed on salvation is on the heart of men, as we preached last time we were here. The battle to believe is not in God's sphere. It's in your heart. We're secure because of the distinguishing, because of the calling of God. He said, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow. That's why we're a distinct people, because we don't follow the voice of the world. He said, a voice of a hireling will they not hear. We don't follow the voice of false doctrine. We don't follow the voice of the lasciviousness of this world. We follow the voice and the calling of God. That's what makes us a distinct, a different people. We belong to God because He is the one that has rescued us. We also have a different standard. And now in this one, I'm not talking about our standards or our convictions. I'm talking about like the standard, like a flag that you bear. We have a standard because of the design of God. That standard is Jesus Christ. We are predestinated to be conformed to the image of His Son. That's what makes us a distinct people. Everybody in the world is going the way that they've been born. Well, I was born this way. I was born liking those people. I was born liking this thing. I was born addicted to this. I was born addicted to those substances or to these different practices or whatever it is. But we who have believed on the Lord, we have a new destiny now. We have a new standard. We have a new way that we're looking for. A new pattern to live after. And it's not me anymore. It's not what I want or how I want to live. It is the Lord Jesus Christ. That's exactly how it was for these Jewish people here. They were a certain people. They were different from the Persians, not because of their skin color. Their skin color is probably very similar. They were different from the Persians because they had a different pattern that they were living after. Different laws is what he says here. He says their laws are diverse from all people. They have different laws than anybody. That's what the children of God are supposed to be like. He says in John chapter 3, he says, the wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh or whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. He's talking about just like you see the wind, the effect that it has on the trees. You don't know where it come from, what it's going to do next. You can say, oh, well, it blew over here. It's probably going to go that way. But I've seen it just die. I've seen it turn around and go in a totally different direction. That's how those who are born of the Spirit of God, they do not follow the logic and the reasoning of the world. They follow the Spirit of God. We talked about that this morning. We are a distinct people. That's what we're supposed to be. So many of independent Baptists now are running away from it. They're taking Baptists off the sign. Well, we don't want people to know we're bad. I don't know what they want people to think about them. But those who are the people of God, we are not afraid or ashamed to be identified with our Savior. We're not ashamed to be identified with His blood and with His sacrifice. They've taken blood out of the psalm books, taken the blood out of the new versions of the Bible, what they call the Bible. They've tried to do away with the blood of Jesus. We're not ashamed to be identified with that. He says that we were redeemed with the precious blood of Christ. That is where our hope lies in. Those who are the people of God, they want to be associated with the things God wants them to be associated with. We are distinct people. That's what we're supposed to be. We're not supposed to be just like the world. We're not supposed to follow the rules of. We're not supposed to follow the false doctrine. We're not supposed to follow whatever doctrine has taken over the church, whatever's bringing in the most. Now it's the reformed doctrine. Bringing everybody in. So I know Baptists that they're moving more toward the reformed way. Whenever it was the Pentecostal way, then they were moving more toward the charismatic and moving more toward the contemporary music. Whatever wind was blowing, that's not what kind of people we are. We are the people of God that have stood no matter what the world has been doing, no matter who's ruling the world, no matter what emperor is sitting on the throne. We have served the Lord for thousands of years. That's who we're supposed to be. We're a distinct people, a dispersed people. He said that they're scattered abroad and dispersed among the people. Brother Mitchell was talking about, he had talked to Brother Milby on the phone a few weeks ago. I didn't even know he knew Brother Milby. I was talking to my dad last night a little bit about how a lot of these men all over the place, few and far between, but they still keep in contact with each other. And Brother Matthias and different people like that. And my generation doesn't really have that much. We're too preoccupied with social media or whatever we're doing now. Very rarely get a phone call from a younger guy, you know. And I'm not saying that to say everything's bad with us. I'm just saying that there's a people of God the strength is not in everybody getting together right here. They're dispersed and scattered around. You should come to church. That's not what I'm saying. You should be in church, the local body. I'm talking about our strength is not in our numbers all across the U.S., all getting into one place. Our strength is in God. We're dispersed and scattered, few and far between. A pocket here and a pocket there. A local assembly here and a local assembly there. But our strength is not diminished in any way by the fact that we are dispersed. Our strength is as powerful as it has ever been because we belong to the same Lord that we've always belonged to. Our strength and our power comes from the one who rules over us. Doesn't matter what country. There's people this morning, or I guess yesterday it would be, in North Korea. Yesterday our time and Sunday their time. North Korea and China missionaries that we've supported or that we do support. And they gathered in secret in some place and they worshiped the Lord and they read the Bible and they've prayed and they've preached and they've heard what God has them to say. We are one with those people. We're very far away from them. We have a totally different culture than they do. We have a totally different way of living than they do. But we are the same people. We belong to the same Lord. We've lost sight of that. We'll join up with people that have the same hobbies as we do, that maybe have the same outlook on how a church should be run as we do. But there's no consideration of what the Lord wants and what He desires and how He wants us to live. We'll leave. I mean, people can go and you drive around here. There's a Baptist church everywhere. Whenever where we are in Kentucky, there's a couple of Southern Baptists, but there's not churches like that everywhere. A lot of non-denominational, Word of Faith people, you know, that type. But down south and where I was born at and where my grandparents live, you get mad at one place, you can just go right down the road to another place. They start preaching on something you don't like, you can just say, well, I'm going to pack my duds and head down the road. That's not the attitude that God's people ought to have. We ought to have the same way of looking at things. We're not robots, but we're all guided by the same thing as we taught in Sunday school this morning, and it's this Word of God. That's what guides us. We've stopped having our lives governed by this Word of God. And so instead of being dispersed as these people were and as God's people are, we're more numerous than we've ever been. But we're all divided. The reason we're divided is because we're not unified around this Scripture right here. There's, I don't know, probably 20 different versions that they say of the Scripture sitting on pulpits this morning in this country. And they hate this version. They hate the King James Bible. And those who claim to be independent Baptists and who have kind of moved away from it secretly, and they're not as strong on the King James Bible as they used to be. Sure, they've got more people coming to the church than they ever have, but they're not a dispersed, powerful people. They're a divided, wicked people. We are dispersed, but that doesn't matter to the Lord. That doesn't hurt the Lord at all. There was a great church in Jerusalem. Sorry. Got some ice in there. After the Lord ascended, there was a massive church in Jerusalem. Thousands of people in that church. If they were here today, we'd say, man, what a great church that is. The Lord doesn't ever want that to stop. The Lord doesn't ever want that. But God, through persecution, scattered those people all throughout the world because He wanted them preaching to other people. He wanted them to spread the gospel to other people. The way we think about things most of the time is not the way that God thinks about things. If God is doing the dispersing, then God's power will be with them no matter how scattered or few they may be. They're a distinct people, so they're a thing. They're certain. They're a dispersed people, so they may be scattered, but they're still unified, even though they're all over the place. They're a different people. Right, they're separate from the world. 2 Corinthians 6. Be ye not. This isn't a suggestion or something that he said, well, it's better if you don't. He says, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. You're different. You're supposed to be. You're supposed to be a temple to God. You're not supposed to be a place for the world's sin and the world's way of thinking. You're supposed to be a temple to the living God. As God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. We're supposed to be different. We're not supposed to be like the world. That's not what God's died for. He didn't die for us to just be just like the world. He died for us to be different. Like Brother Ernest was talking about, and I testified about my family. People all over this country today have received news that their loved ones have died. Whether it be a brother or a mother, a father, a husband or a wife, they've received news that their loved ones have died. Lost and saved. People deal with loss. They deal with the death of those because we all die. There are those lost and saved all across this country, all across this world that have received the news that they have a terminal disease, that they have something that they can't get rid of or whatever it may be. They've received horrible news this week. But the people of God, they're different. They're not different because they're better. They're different because God is better. They're different because they have somebody to go with them through these struggles and these trials. We want to be, you know, we don't want to be separate until it's time for us to go through trouble. Then whenever it's time for us to go through trouble, then all of a sudden we want to belong to the Lord. All of a sudden now we want to claim Him and we want all of His blessings. We want His fellowship and we want His presence. But whenever things are going good and things are going our way, then we want to be friends with the world. That's not what we're supposed to be. We're not supposed to be yoked together with unbelievers. Unequally. There can't be an equal yoke with unbelievers. You're pulling in two different directions. You're not even on the same side of the yoke if you know how a yoke works. You're on two opposite sides. What communion hath light with darkness? That's how these people here were here. Just like the Jewish people there, he says, neither keep they the king's laws. Therefore it is not for the king's profit to suffer them. Said they're different from us. That's what Haman said. He said they're different from us. They don't think the same way we do. They're not as ambitious as we are toward the same things. It's really not any profit if we keep them around. That's the way our government's starting to think about us. That's the way if the Democrats win, maybe if the Republicans win too, I don't know, but definitely if the Democrats win, that's how they think about us. We're not any profit to them. We're a danger to them. That's what they think. There's a danger if they let us stay around, then we're going to corrupt other people into thinking that their way is not the best. We're going to corrupt other people into thinking that abortion shouldn't be happening in this country. They're afraid of what the impact that we may have. Our impact is not because of how loud our voice is, but simply because of how powerful our God is. And we have forgotten that in this day. We have forgotten that we are different. We have forgotten that we don't belong to the Lord, that we don't belong to the world. We have forgotten that we don't belong to the government, that we don't belong to the global system. We belong to God. We're supposed to be different. That's who we belong to. He says, I will be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and daughters. We're guided by a different set of rules. He says, their laws are diverse from all people. Our laws are different than the laws of this country. Brother Ernest was talking about at dinner last night how the common graces have gone, how everybody is just out for themselves. Not my problem. I'll just do my own thing. I don't care what happens to them. We've lost that community. We've lost that care for each other that we used to have in this country whenever we served the Lord. But the children of God, they're still supposed to live that way. We still serve the same Lord that our forefathers served. I read at the meeting, at the political meeting a few weeks ago, statements from Lincoln and Reagan, two of the greatest Republican presidents that we've had, and how they said that they couldn't have done what they've done unless they relied on the Lord. How many times they said that they would take time and go and kneel down and pray and ask for guidance from God to lead this country. How far we've come from that. But we still serve that same God. We still belong to that same God. We still pray to that same God. And He is able, just as He did then, He is able to save this country, to save our communities, just as He did then. But we've forgotten about it. We've said, well, we're going to do our political thing. We're going to do whatever we want to Monday through Saturday, and then we'll come into church on Sunday and we'll pretend like everything's okay. We don't serve God like our forefathers did. This country was founded by, not all the men who founded this country were Christians, but a lot of them were. But they all believed in God. The Bible says, the fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. The complete moron are those who believe that there is no God. They claim to be the smartest people on their own words. I'm too smart to believe in God. You're too stupid to believe in God is what the Bible says. He said, a complete idiot, somebody who can't even process information correctly. That's who believes that there is no God. But we let them take over our country, take over our schools, take over our public schools, kick the Bible and prayer out of our schools. We've let them bring in the transgenders, bring in whatever else, nakedness and all kinds of pornography into the schools, and we've not stood against it at all. Well, we just let them do. Our forefathers would not have done that. Not because they were stronger than us, even though they probably were, but because they believed in God, they had a fear of God that we do not have. They knew that they belonged to God, that this country belonged to God, that we don't belong to the world. We're a different people. We're a distinct people, a dispersed people, a different people, a people that are devised against. Haman said, he said, here's what I'll do. Now, this was Haman's idea. It wasn't the king's idea. It was Haman's idea. Haman said, here's what I'll do. He said, let it be written that they may be destroyed. He wanted the king to look like the king was doing it. He said, but I'll pay the 10,000 talents of silver to the hands of those that have charge of the business to bring it into the king's treasuries. He said, I'll pay for it. You just put your name on it. He's devised this whole thing to make it look like the king wants to destroy the Jewish people. Same thing's happening today. The people of God are always devised against. They're lied about, things done behind the scenes to make it look like so-and-so's against them, make it look like the government's against them. Most of the time, it's a small group. But they're very powerful. They have the will of the people. People are swayed by them, however you want to say it. But there are people that spend all day, every day, planning how they can bring some accusation against the church. There's people that have left our church, and they spend their entire day on social media, going through our services so they can try to find something to complain about or make to go viral. They hate the people of God. They devise against them. They talk to people behind the scenes to make it look like there's this big, well, you make this account and I'll make this account and we'll make it look like there's a bunch of people that hate this place. That's what Haman was doing. If you're going to serve the Lord, they're going to devise against you. People smarter than you are going to devise against you. You're not going to be able to stand in the strength of men if you're going to stand for the Lord. You're going to have the power of the Lord working with you. But God's people, those who are a certain people, they do have the power of the Lord working with them. Doesn't matter how much they're devised against. As the song says, nothing can touch me that doesn't pass through His hand. The devil and the world are very crafty against the people of God and the things of God. He says in Romans 8:36, that is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. That means as the world is thinking of us, as they're putting us in their accounting books, they're not accounting us as valuable. They're not accounting us as something that is good for them. They're accounting us as something that needs to be slaughtered. Something that would be better if we were dead. 2 Corinthians, but what I do, that I will do, that I may cut off occasion from them which desire occasion, that wherein they glory, they may be found even as we are. For such are false prophets, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. We're devised against. They devise deception. He says that they appear to be angels of light. There are people who claim to be Christians, and they hate the Lord. That's what he says in Romans chapter 1. That's what he says in Jude. They don't love the Lord. They just say that they love the Lord. The whole time they're planning to bring reproach on the church and bring reproach on the name of the Lord. They're filled with all kinds of ungodliness. The only reason they're in our churches is to get some kind of wicked gratification that they're looking for. I've seen preachers like that too. Preachers that can't keep their eyes on their own wife. Go to the camp meeting, and I don't need to get off on all that. This is something to preach at a camp meeting, probably. But there are false teachers and false doctrine. More interested in talking to the ladies than they are in loving the Lord at all. And it's been that way for thousands of years, for hundreds of years. They're more interested in how they can impress people, what kind of car they drive, whether or not people think they're rich or not. They're deceptive. The people of God are always have deceivers that are among them. Jesus Himself was God in the flesh. He had 12 apostles. He had 12 disciples. And one of them was a devil, a deceiver. Our preacher said, he said that Jesus had 12 and one of them was a devil. He said, there's probably a few devils around here too. That's what our preachers always said. They devise deception. They devise false doctrines. Man, some of the false doctrines now are so twisted. They're meant to draw you in. The Peter Ruckmans and the Stephen guy, I can't remember his name, out in Arizona. They're crafted to draw you in, to draw away your children, to draw them away from, as the book of Galatians says. He says, I marvel that you're so soon removed from the grace of Him that called you into another gospel, which is not another, is what He said. It's not the gospel. But we're devised against. There's so many deceivers. That's really how you can tell. You know, the Democrats don't have as many receivers deceiving the Democrats. They all like, you know, they like what they're doing. They don't got to pretend like they're a Republican in order to get elected in the Democratic Party, or pretend like they're a Democrat and really be a Republican. In the county that we live in, I'm just using this as an example. It's not all about politics. There's people who have been Democrats for years, support abortion, support all the Democratic things, but they switch their party. Pretend to be a Republican so they can get elected, but they don't vote Republican. You don't really see that with the Democrats. Man, whatever they're on board with, the whole party's on board with. Whatever thing they come up with, oh, we're going to bomb, you know, we're going to bomb Texas. Let's do it. That's what they do. That's how it is with the children of the devil, too. Doesn't matter how illogical the thing is that they're involved in. Doesn't matter what kind of accusation it is against the man of God, against a local pastor, against somebody that has served the Lord for years. It doesn't matter how outlandish it is. The world's all on board with it. But you criticize them, it's like, well, you got to learn to have nuance. You got to learn, you know, what it means to have some compassion for people. Never can see the way that the Bible says to do things. They devise deception, devise false doctrine, devise devilish practices. Revelation chapter 3 tells us about the Jezebel that was in Thyatira and running the show there. There are things going on in churches now that would have sickened our forefathers. Sickened men that have just died in the past 5 to 10 years. There are things going on in independent Baptist churches that are not of God. It's not the things that the people of God do. It's not the things that the people of God love. It's the things that the world loves. But we've brought the world in. And it's all been a devisement of the devil. He's been planning it for years and years, just waiting for an opportunity. They devise destruction, as we said in Romans 8. For thy sake we're killed all the day long. Brother Johnny Jones preaches a good message and a good series of messages about the history of people, what we call Baptists now, but they weren't always called Baptists. Up until this country was founded in 1776, pretty much throughout the whole world for those 1750 years, people who believe like we believe were persecuted. Their life was in danger. They were ostracized from the community many times, not all the time, but for the majority and the rule. The founding of this country has given people who believe like we believe the freedom to worship God. But that will come to an end. This has been a period of grace. And just as governments and principalities and powers have designed and devised for years to destroy the people of God, they will come to power again. It is not because, it's not, if we could put a reason on it, it's not because America's, you know, it's not because America is, you know, less wealthy. It's because we've forgotten our Lord. We've forgotten who we belong to. Our churches have compromised over and over and over again, have moved so far away from who we belong to. And the whole time the devil's devising our destruction, devising the destruction of our families. If we could just line up in our church, probably in this church the same. If we could just walk all the people through the auditorium here that have passed through, that sin and the devil have destroyed, that wouldn't listen to the preaching. Children and families that are split apart. I know in our church, probably the same here. You would see how powerful the enemy really is. You wouldn't be messing around with the enemy like you are in your home or in your mind or in your family. He's devising our destruction and has been the whole time. We're a people that are devised against, but we're a people with a destiny. Those who belong to the Lord, He says, the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and with the voice of an archangel, and with the trump of God. The trumpet shall sound, the dead shall rise first. We which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. There's a destiny for us, our being, who we really are. There's a destiny for our body. He says that our mortal must put on immortality, that this mortal will put on immortality, that this corruption will put on incorruption. There's a destiny for our future, a destiny for what we are as the children of God. That's who the children of God are. They have a destiny. They got a place that they're going. They have a place that they're looking forward to. We don't look at the things that are around here as if they're valuable. We don't see the houses and the land and the money that can all pass away in a moment of time, and we may find that out faster than you think. But all of these temporal things are going to be gone away, but the eternal things, that's what we live for. That's what the children of God look for. We don't get bogged down in the day-to-day, you know, work minutiae that we have to go through and allow it to take over our mind and our heart. We have a destiny, a world that is not of this world that we are headed to. That's a certain people. That's a people that it doesn't matter who's the president. They can go on and serve the Lord. They can have joy in the midst of persecution. He says, rejoice when men shall persecute you and revile you. That's the type of people that can rejoice in that. They can go to college, go to work, go to high school, go to middle school, whatever it is, and they can rejoice. They can stand for the Lord because there is a certain people. Now, there's a lot of fakers, as we said before. There's a lot of pretenders. He even said in the book of Daniel that at the end of times, then there will be a lot of people who cling to the children of Israel with flatteries. And the children of Israel as a whole aren't even saved. They will be. He says Israel will be converted in a day. But the children of Israel, they still carry the name of the Lord on this earth. That doesn't guarantee them a spot in heaven. But on this earth, they belong to the Lord. And even then, there will be people that will cling to them with flatteries and betray them. So it is here for the children of God. People that will pretend to be your friends, pretend to love you, pretend to want to hang out with you. But whenever things go crossways or they get under a little bit of pressure, then they will forsake you. But that doesn't dissuade us, because our destiny is secure in heaven. Most of the problem with people that claim to be Christians today, they check the box on the census or they go down to the local church. Most of the problem is they simply don't belong to the Lord. They're not His people. They claim to be the children of God. But as we said in Sunday school, as I preach in the jail nearly every week, Matthew chapter 7, many shall say unto me in that day, he says, I think in the book of Luke, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Matthew 7 says, many shall say unto me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. There's many fakers. It's not just a few. There's many false prophets, not just a few. He says in 1 John 4, Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they be of God. For many false prophets are gone out into the world. Not just a few. There's a lot of false prophets. There's a lot of false professions. There's a lot of false Christians. There's a lot of people who say they know the Lord and they don't. But there is a certain people that do know the Lord, that are founded in this Bible. And you can find them. You can be a part of them. It's not complicated. It's not hard. It's not rocket science. It's not a maze that you have to go through. You simply follow and believe what the Bible says. Believe on the Lord and trust in Him. And you can be a part of that people this morning. I believe I'm in a church with people that are a part of the people of God. We've had good fellowship with Brother Ernest and his wife and several of you as well. We belong to the Lord together. We ought to live like that. We ought to be unified around that. We ought to agree together in the direction that we're going, because we are the people of God. There's going to come a day, and it's probably just around the corner, that that's not going to be a thing that people say proudly if they're faking it. There's going to be a day where saying that statement, that you believe the Lord and you love the Lord or you're a child of the Lord, can get you killed. It may not be that far away, but we'll be as powerful as we've ever been, because we serve the same Lord that all of our forefathers have served. He's seen them through trial, through persecution, and He'll see us through as well. Thank you, Brother Ernest.